This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Pod!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. What's going on? It is What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
Feeling pretty good.
I'm not sick this week.
That's good. That is a very good thing. No sneezing, no coughing. You've been around.
Well, I mean, I make no promises, but I appear to be okay.
Well, that's good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, the Capitals have. There is a loss, unfortunately, that we're going to be talking about.
But it wasn't in regulation.
Wasn't in regulation.
So there's that.
There's some controversy over whether or not that game should have ended at that point. We'll get into that eventually. But Capitals have three games to talk about since the last time when that we talked. Canadiens, Jets, and the Red Wings. Let's start off. Let's just talk about the Red Wings game a little bit. It's Mike Green's first time back in D.C. It was a return for him to the only other team he's known besides Detroit. I didn't get to watch a lot of the game from the coverage that I saw online and other stuff. There were a lot of Mike Green jerseys. Apparently they showed a video as well. What did this mean to the team and Mike Green as well for him to come back to DC for the first time?
Well, I think it's always nice for a player who's been somewhere for so long to be able to come back and be recognized by the organization. And they have the video online now.
Oh, do they?
I think they had it on, I saw it last night during the game. So they had it posted pretty early. But
check it out.
They actually had a very nice video for him, a nice little moment. He gave the crowd, he started clapping, gave the crowd a nice little wave or whatever, and it was a nice moment. You know, he'll come back, I'm sure, a bunch more times in his career, whether it's with the Red Wings or somebody else. And you know, now he's just another player on another team. But it was nice to see him back. It's sort of like when Bondra got traded and he came back and he had a nice moment, and then he was the enemy, sort of. But I think Green is one of those guys that when his career comes to an end, he's one of the ones that you can see coming back and doing alumni things with the team for a number of years, you know, as long as he wants to. I'm sure he would come back and do all sorts of stuff. I mean, he had a picture, I think Leonsis put out a picture on Instagram or wherever it was of him with Mike Green. And, you know, he went out and apparently went to dinner with Backstrom the night before, before the game. And so it was nice to see him back in D.C., even though he is wearing a different shade of red.
Yeah, and there was an article that was on the Washington Post today about the return and everything, and it was an interesting article because it brought up the fact that with Mike Green leaving, it really was an end of an era for Washington hockey because he was one of the big-time young guns. You know, it was that kind of ushered in a new fan base in D.C. It was Mike Green. It was Nick Backstrom. It was Alex Ovechkin and Alex Semin. We'll talk about him a little bit later. But they were the young guns. They were the guys who got everybody so excited to see hockey in D.C. The article brought up the fact that there were so many empty seats before they got here, and then they came back.
Yeah, I was at those games.
they came here. They re-energized everybody. So, I mean, Mike Green definitely does have a special place in D.C. just for the sheer fact that he's one of not the founding fathers of hockey here, but he's one of the founding fathers of the resurgence of hockey in D.C.
I almost give credit to him and Ovechkin, and not really to Backstrom in the sense that they were more willing to do the off ice stuff,
right?
In terms of the like media and whatever else. Like Backstrom's always willing to talk to the media, but he was never really like, you know, he's not getting mohawks before playoff games, or you know, he had another tattoos or driving a Vespa.
Vespa, that's right.
Right, with the Vespa around, or him and Ovechkin are not sitting in a cart trying to beat the gate coming down at Verizon Center and almost getting decapitated. You know, he wasn't like doing that. So he wasn't quite as showy off the ice. I mean, Backstrom definitely played a part in terms of the performance on the ice, but it was Green and Ovechkin were really the guys that were off the ice doing the goofy stuff, being out and being noticeable by the fans.
And not just the goofy stuff either. I mean, Mike Green had a very big impact on the community of DC.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because he did a lot of volunteer work. He was always one of the guys you saw doing stuff with a Caps jersey on to kind of raise awareness about any kind of issue. But the other big thing was that he was really big on like the music scene here. Him and Elliot the Morning would team up. I don't know if you remember a couple years ago, but there was a band. They're not popular anymore, but they really hit it big for like 6 months, called the Sheepdogs. I'm almost positive it was the Sheepdogs, but he was very instrumental in getting that band at the 930 Club. I mean, he was out in the public eye. He didn't shy away from fans. He interacted with fans at community events, off the ice.
I met him at, so to speak, at Kettler.
Yes, I did too.
My girlfriend and my sister got pictures with him, Brooks Like, and Chris Bork.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, he was always very approachable.
Always great with the fans.
Very nice guy. So, I mean, it was good for him to be back in DC. It was a nice little tribute they did to him. And of course, the fans are going to miss him. I've got a Mike Green jersey myself. But now that he's got that first visit back to DC out of the way, I got to say, looking at the Detroit games that we've had so far, I have to imagine they're going to, as long in the playoffs, there's a good chance that the Caps see them down the road.
Well, they have to get to the Western Conference. What am I talking about? They have to get to the Eastern Conference Finals they got to get out of their division first. But
right.
If they can get out of the division, there's a very good chance they end up seeing the Red Wings, and then things get a little awkward.
Yeah, things will get a little weird at that point. But this might not be the end of the story for the Red Wings and Capitals this season, and that might be why NBC has snatched up all of those for national games. But it'll be very interesting to see down the road. But for the most part, though, let's talk about the actual game. I didn't get to see a lot of it, like I said, but what a way to start the game. Justin Williams comes out of nowhere. I think it was like his first shot on net, and boom, goal within like the first minute of the game. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. I didn't mind having to not have to sweat about them scoring their first goal when they decided, you know what, we'll just do it right away.
Yeah.
No, they definitely, it's a good job of crashing the net and guys creating havoc, and they're able to get that one and then not score for a really long time after.
Yeah, the Capitals have been known to do that, kind of take the foot off the pedal a little bit there. But I liked Justin Williams' goal. I think that was his 600th point, if I'm not mistaken, in the NHL. So congrats to him on that. But
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
With these last couple games, the offense has been a little lackadaisical, I guess. What do you think is attributing that to? Are these guys just tired, or what's going on? Because we haven't seen as many goals or even that much of a aggressive side of the offense this past week.
It could be the way teams are playing them. It could be the way Trotz is deciding to play against other teams if he's reeling back things a little bit. I'm a little annoyed. Not annoyed. That's not the right choice of words. But just sort of confused as to why they're not quite crashing the net as much as you like to see. A lot. They definitely were, and they were talking about during the broadcast last night, a lot of shots from the outside, mm-hmm. but not making it difficult for the goaltender to see those shots coming in. So I'm a little confused why there were not more and more guys that were deciding to crash the net to create havoc for the goaltender. I mean, that you'd think it's hard for the goalie to stop what they can't see.
Correct. Very, very much
so. I guess if you're not going to crash the net, then you're going to make life easy for the goalie. Then I'm not really sure what your game plan is.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to make it difficult for the goalie. You got to get those rebounds that goalie gives off. Such a big part.
They're not getting a lot of offense off out of the fourth line, the third line a little bit, and first line, yes, second line, no. Yeah, but I'd like to see more from the third and fourth lines in terms of offensive production.
Third line, definitely, but this has been a big week for Big Willie. Willie Baby came out and he was able to get a goal in Montreal.
Yeah, he did, and he's not going to score again for a year.
I remember tweeting and be like, "Was that Willie? Did Willie just get a goal?
Did he know he was shooting? Does he know? Did he try to check the puck and it went in? Is that what happened?
Apparently,
he tried to punch it. He punched it.
Punched the goalie in the face and then got a goal. I like it.
You know what? He just stared real menacingly at the puck and it was like, "All right, man," and it just ran into the goal.
In the Jets. Please don't hurt me. In the Jets game, though, we saw a lot of offense from Willie. And another thing we saw, though, is the fact that he was getting targeted a lot by the Jets. You know, they were constantly pushing him around, trying to get him started. They were definitely trying to draw penalties, and Willie kind of went for it a couple times. He got a lot of penalties in that game, but he was also drawing penalties himself. You know, he was egging on the team, the Jets. And I love the fact that whenever you'd get in Big Willie's face, he just laughs at you. You know, it's got to infuriate the other team that he just laughs at the other team. But he did his job very well this week. I want to give props to Tom Wilson. He was able to get the goal in Montreal, and then the Jets, he was antagonizing the team. They were frustrated. He played into it, and he did his job. He did his job this week. So I liked what I saw from Tom Wilson this week.
Yeah, I think a year ago we would have seen him bite more on some of those things. Their yes. teams trying to antagonize him, and I think they know that sometimes they can get away with that, and so they look to take advantage of those opportunities to, for lack of a better term, piss him off. So if you're him, you got to learn from that and just sort of not bite on a lot of those things and not allow teams to let you get under your skin. And so for him to sit there and just smile back at them when they were trying to get, you know, get under his skin, I think is perfect because it's just going to piss off the other team and then they're going to make a mistake.
Yes, and that is 100% what they did on Saturday up against the Jets. And there was a big line brawl. I don't know if you saw that online.
I haven't watched it. I meant to watch the video, and I never got around to it.
Started with Lotta. Then, of course, Wilson's like, I'm not going to let him fight by himself. And then Wilson,
don't you hit my friend!
So, of course, Willie had to get into a fight as well with Lotta. So, you know,
that's my boy.
You're my boy, Blue.
Leave him alone. You gotta imagine that was kind of what was happening.
Oh yeah, like, absolutely. Like,
that's my boy. I mean, they stick up for one another. I find it entertaining. They're on the same line. They bother Brooks alike about it all the time on Instagram. Apparently,
he won't follow them. Poor guys.
Yeah, he won't follow. He's so mean.
He only follows his fiance, and it's probably because his
lady friend.
His fiance probably was like, "You need to be on Instagram now," and he was like, "I don't want to be." She's like, "Do it."
I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a part of that. Yeah, I do. I do find it entertaining though. They continually bother him. And then, like, did you see, we're getting off topic, but like, his Netsoff was making fun of Lotta on Instagram.
No, I didn't see that.
He posted a picture with Datsuk, Kuznetsov did, and then Lotta said something about how come you don't take pictures with me, and Kuznetsov said something like, "You're too ugly." Like, it was so childish that you almost know that, like, Lotta texted him and was like, "You're a jerk."
Come on, man. That ain't cool.
Like this, like, childish response. It was very silly, but it's nice to see the guys have that kind of rapport. Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing because it's they're being lighthearted. You know, it is.
Yeah.
There is so much of a hockey season that when you do get down in the dumps, it's hard to not think about constantly like losing or what you did wrong in a game or whatever. It's a very lighthearted team, and I like the fact that they're not like wallowing in losses because, you know, so many times against Bruce or with Bruce as the coach or even with Dale Hunter,
when they got down, they were just like, world's coming to an end.
It's all over, man.
They're an emo kid in high school.
Oh, so emo. They were so emo. And now it's kind of like, all right, we lost one. We're not going to lose two. Let's get out there. Let's do it.
Screw that noise.
Yeah, and it's been great because up to this point, you know, it's still, we're in December now. They have not had back-to-back losses this entire season. How awesome is that?
That is pretty impressive considering that they've certainly put themselves in position to have that happen.
Yes.
Namely, the game against Detroit. But they're able to come back. They're able to fight back. I finally saw 3-on-3 in overtime. It was kind of boring.
What?
Into the Detroit game, dude. That was kind of lame. It was like Detroit had control for most of the time. Then they took a penalty. Then Detroit took a penalty at the end. It was boring. But the shootout. Oshie was nice.
Oshie's showing off. Kuznetsov?
No, but it was just like he found the five homes. Just like shot. Kuznetsov, though, like that was rude. He just like embarrassed Jimmy Howard.
He's
like, "Hey, I'm on this way." Psych.
He's the guy I met when they announced the Olympic team. He's the guy who signed a puck for me for the USA hockey thing before Sochi. They're like, "We're not going to tell you who you're going to meet." And we entered a room and it was two Detroit Red Wings, one of them being Jimmy Howard. And I was like, "Who the hell is that guy?"
Wait, what the hell are you talking about?
So when they announced the USA hockey team for Sochi, they had a big thing at Kettler, and they had like a fan fest.
Right. I totally forgot about that.
And they, everyone got a wristband, and they're like, "All right, you can, you're going to meet two hockey players from this team, but we're not telling you who they are. So you just have to guess." And then we get into a room, and there's like, they're both wearing like Detroit Red Wings stuff or something.
Wait, who was the other guy?
I have no idea. I don't even think he made the team.
Wait, Rafalski? This is for the last one?
This was for, yeah, this was the summer before Sochi.
What year was that?
Was that was only 20, last year, wasn't
24,
it?
24?
13? Was it?
No, it's got to be 14.
It's got to be 14.
It's our, okay. So you're gonna say, God,
it was only last year?
I mean, Brian Rafalski is the only other Detroit guy I can think of, but he was not playing at that time. Scrolling. What? Who puts a roster like this? That is terrible. Oh God, that's the worst. How? Oh wait. Okay, that's much better. Jimmy Howard and there's no one else from Detroit.
I know this was. These are the guys we think that we're gonna play. And then,
dude,
I,
the only guy on the roster is from Detroit is Jimmy Howard.
Yeah, so I think the other guy didn't make it onto the team. I think Jimmy Howard's the only one that I met.
Oh, maybe.
Who was actually still.
Oh, this
part
is before. This was just the. This like is like the people that are invited.
These are the people that are invited to camp, even though they're not allowed to do anything at camp due to the NHL. And here's our new jersey.
All right, well, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Jimmy Howard. He was a backup to
the Quick. That sucked.
To Quick, just once in Sochi. So I mean, little.
Dude, whatever, free trip.
Yeah. Got to enjoy Russia with all those stray dogs that were in Sochi.
Oh yeah, there is that.
Yeah, I loved Oshie talking about Sochi. He was like, man, Vancouver was so much more fun. After you got done a game, you could go down to the bar, have some drinks with some friends. In Sochi, you were like stuck in your one building that your country was housed in, and that was it. There was no nightlife, nothing else. It was just this little, all you did was play hockey, and then you stayed in your room.
Putin would not allow it. You do not embarrass our country.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We don't allow you to come do this. No, I mean, it was fun. And to see the shootout against Detroit was fun. The fact that this team, which gets down on themselves so often that we've seen in the past, are able to fight back in these games, this is not the first time. We've seen them fight their way back and get wins or at least get a point in other games in the past. And so the fact that they have yet to go with back-to-back losses, it's impressive.
It's very impressive. You know, it's very. I don't know many other teams that are doing that right now in this year, but it's just the fact that they're doing that and their mindset of we have a loss, we're going to fix what we did wrong, and we're going to do that. And they have, but of course, we also have to bring up one person's name. Shocked to bring this up, but a guy who has saved this team from a lot of losses so far, friggin' Braden Holtby. Good lord,
he's done pretty well.
That guy. I mean, that Montreal game. Capitals definitely should have lost that game, but Holtby stood tall, or he crouched down, whatever you needed him to do. He was there. He did it. And Holtby is. I mean, you got to think right now on like the Mount Rushmore of the Capitals for the last couple or next couple years and this year, you're gonna have Ovi, but you're gonna have Holtby right next to him on that mountain.
Oh, no question. If he goes down the line that the path that he's going down right now, he's gonna be up there with guys like. Like Ole Kolzig, and you know he's been doing so well that he's been acknowledged for it by the NHL. They named him the second star of the month for November. So yeah. Congratulations to him. Holtby went 9-2 with a GAA goals against average of 1.99 and a save percentage of .927. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the reason why you call him the Holt Beast.
That's why you call him that. I don't really do that, but that's besides the point. Now he's done very well. He is the whole beast, even with that silly video that they play. And the thing that's so good about him is that he's so calm.
Yeah.
Did you see him being like Dominic Hasek and wanting to go like punch someone?
Did you see the thing? I think Russian Machine put a spotlight on it where they were in a timeout or whatever, and he was singing along with Cage the Elephant, song that was playing in the
yeah,
arena.
I saw that.
You know, dude's just so chill. He did the same thing. I think it was like overtime. It was Rangers and Caps back in the playoffs. And he's singing like Blister in the Sun or something, whatever was playing over the loudspeaker during this crazy, stressful game where we're on the edge of our seats. And Holtby's just like, tra-la-la-la-la, day at work.
Well, he
this
did that
fun.
In his essential rookie season when he came out of the playoffs against the Bruins.
Uh-huh.
And it was Rich Peverly swung a stick at him. And he didn't even move.
Yeah, he's like, whatever.
He's like, can I help you?
Back off. This is my
It wasn't
house.
Even that. Like, he didn't even look like mad or annoyed. He didn't flinch. He was just kind of like, hey, how's it going, man? Like, he was just very chill.
So what else do we got to cover here in Caps World?
Oh, let's see. What else do we have? The Caps recalled Aaron Ness after an injury to Carl Alsner, but Alsner actually played against Detroit, so it seems like he's okay. He ended up coming out and saying that it was a maintenance day regarding why he had missed practice back on Tuesday. So it seems like he's okay. No real worries there.
And there was a before, you know, they made the announcement he would be playing, it was jeopardizing how many consecutive games he has played with the Capitals.
There was some concern about that.
Because he's played, like, what, 700 games or something without missing it, without missing any? Or
no, it was like, I think him and Carlson are just over 500 or under. They're like within two games of each other. Shocker. And it's like over 500 or like 480s or something. Like, it's right up there. Yeah. It's certainly impressive in a sport where guys can get injured in just so many different ways.
Especially defensemen. My gosh.
Yeah, I mean, you're blocking shots and people are running into the boards all the time when they've dumped the puck in. So for them to stay healthy and be as consistent as they are is phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was him and it was Marcus Johansson. It looked like Johansson wasn't going to play. Turned out he did play, but
that injury has improved his game. He's been playing really well lately.
Yeah,
and had an assist in both goals in the Detroit game.
Yeah, yeah. His game is definitely
stepped up. Someone should hit him more often, apparently. So play better.
Somebody just hit him into the boards a couple times of practice. Get him pumped up. You know,
Wilson, I'm looking in your direction.
So if he didn't play, I would assume that it would be Galiev.
Well, Wilson didn't play in the Winnipeg game?
No, he played in Winnipeg. Wilson definitely played in Winnipeg.
No, not Wilson. Johansson.
I thought you said Wilson. Pretty sure you said
no, Wilson. No, Johansson. I don't know who I said. It's been a long day. Johansson didn't play in one of the games. Galiev played. Speaking of Galiev.
Dun, dun, dun.
Not that, I mean, I'm just speculating, but I'm pretty sure, or at least I'm pretty confident that he's not going to be on this roster or as part of this organization come the trade deadline or the day after.
Ooh, why do you say that?
Well, because the team doesn't want to lose him. They don't want to send him down because they don't want to lose him for nothing, but they're not playing him.
Right.
So I imagine if they're not going to play him, which is stunting his development, then why not add him as part of a trade piece to bring in something that can help you in your push for a Stanley Cup? You have opportunities to bring in guys that are going to score, or you have these young guys like Burakovsky, should he ever get on the score sheet and wake up, and Kuznetsov, who are young guys that are scoring. You have Williams for the next couple of years, and Wilson ideally filling in for him. And TJ Oshie is not an old guy, so you have him for a number of years. It seems like, with potentially the exception of Marcus Johansson, your top six is pretty much solidified for the foreseeable future. So I don't know where a guy like Galia fits in. So my thought is, if they're not willing to risk putting him on waivers and send him down, then you, with the potential that he has, and we're not quite sure what his thought or the thoughts about him are around the league, but if around the league they're still thought this kid's got potential, why not add him to a piece of a trading deal to bring in a quality, I don't know. The thing is, I don't know who they bring in. But, like, if you want to bring in someone, why not add Galiev to that opportunity to bring in someone that can help this team going into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, while I do agree with you there, I don't know if Galiev would be that add-on piece that you would trade away.
Well, because he would be a throw-in with somebody else.
Yeah, but I don't know if he would be the throw-in piece due to the fact that other teams just don't know his skill set. They don't know how he's performed. He's looked good in the AHL last year, but who knows what's happened since last season. So if it were me and I was thinking about trading somebody, I would go for somebody on the Caps, but then I would go for a guy like Nathan Walker or somebody who's looked really good in the AHL. That's how we got Lotta in the trade in the first place, because he was tearing it up in the AHL. If for a guy who just kind of rides the bench and sits in the press box, I don't think there's a lot of value in a guy that does that. If he played a couple games and got at least a couple goals, then yeah, I can see him going somewhere. But he hasn't done anything this year. I mean,
in the NHL, but that's why you trade him based off of his potential and not based off of what he's shown you. He has shown a lot in the AHL, which is why I think he has some trade value as a piece to something else. So I think he's got more than Walker in terms of offensive capabilities and what he's shown in the minors.
Sure.
So I think he's more likely to be a bigger piece of a trade than than someone like Nathan Walker or somebody else. He's got potential, and I think that for some teams, especially a team that may be rebuilding or is still building, could be attractive for someone to look at. I mean, you look at a guy like Cody Eakin. Mm-hmm. He hadn't shown anything at the NHL level, but he did at the AHL level, and you have to wonder, you know, do you make a move like that where you bring in someone and make a trade, like you trade Eakin and a draft pick or something like that? Maybe trade Galiev and a second or third round pick to bring in somebody.
Yeah, there's potential there. I just feel as if
I don't know who you bring in.
Yeah, I just feel as if there's other people in the Bears organization that I would, if I were GM and I was looking in from the outside, I'd be going, oh, I want this guy from the Bears or that, whatever. Because I think that's why, you know, Phoenix Copley went in the Troy Brower trade. It was, he showed a lot of good stuff in the AHL. I mean, I'd rather have somebody who's good at the AHL level and playing every night than a guy who's at the NHL level and doing nothing every night. That's my line of thinking. But go ahead.
If Galia was down in Hershey, he'd be tearing it up.
He would. 100% he would.
But so I think that's sort of the thing right now.
I don't want him to be put on waivers because I do think somebody could snatch him.
Oh, I don't think they'll do that.
But they definitely – I would like to see him factored in a little bit more. I mean, I understand if –
Where do you play him? If
it ain't broke, don't fix it. But, I mean, just to have him in for a couple nights to get that experience. You remember he was with the Bears for a little bit, and he got sent to Reading, and he won the ECHL.
He was a little bit of a later – not late, but like a later bloomer.
Yeah, it took him a long time to get used to this side of the globe's version of hockey. So he got sent to the ECHL a couple times, came back to the Bears, tore it up last year. But he needs to play if they want him to do anything at this level. So I don't know. Maybe just play him once or twice to show what he's got. If you remember, I think it was one of the Dale Hunter games, and it was. Was it Vokoun and Neuwirth? And Nuvi was told, like, hey, you're going to play tonight. And then game time rolls around, and Holpe's just showing up with bags. He's like, apparently they called me, and I'm playing tonight. I think that that was just to show Holpe's value, because I think back then they didn't know what they had, and they were showcasing him to other GMs for a game to show what he could be if he was gone in a trade. Thankfully, that didn't happen. But it was a weird thing where, like, two guys are like, oh, I'm playing, and then Holpe shows up. He's like, nope, it's me. And it was just for one game, showcase what you can do, and then he's back in the AHL. You know, that's what you need to do with Galiev. If you want value in him, you got to show it that
I think your value, they go based off of what his potential. You can't go off of what people have seen because you haven't seen anything.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's pure speculation. Who knows? He's definitely not going to be the main part of a trade.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. yes, we will trade. We want that Galiev kid. Yeah, we definitely want him.
No, but I mean, there might be a team that's like, hey, you want this guy? We want this person. And we want, I don't know, a second round pick and a prospect, you know, and Galiev. All right. Sure. He's still a young guy. Yeah. The offensive prospects, I mean, I can't think of anyone at the moment that's like, oh, this guy's going to be great.
Right.
Not yet.
For the offense, though. But, a little segue here, there are two goalies that the Capitals have that are prospects that are showing up in World Juniors.
Yeah, there are.
We got
Russia invited goalie Ilya Samsonov, that first round pick that everyone went, what are you doing? Okay. Why are you picking goalie when you have Braden Holtby? This kid's been tearing it up over in the KHL. He's been invited to trial for their World Juniors team, as has South Carolina Stingray goaltender Vitek Vanacek. He was invited by the Czech Republic to come and try out for their team. I have to imagine Samsonov's definitely going to play. Vanacek, I imagine, is going to play. I don't know how that works in terms of the minor leagues being allowed to say no. I know in the NHL, teams can say, no, we're not letting him go.
Right.
But I guess in the minors, it's probably they'll let him go, and the Stingrays will just have to deal, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I think that's the same thing that happened.
Oh, it's like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's about 2 weeks. And they did the same thing with a couple Bears last year, if I remember correctly. They do that all the time. But you remember it was a big deal last year with Burakovsky? because they wanted him for World Juniors, and the Capitals were like, no, we're going to use him. Then he got sent to the Hershey Bears, and like the IIHF just went crazy. Like, why are you sending him to the Hershey Bears? He should be playing in World Juniors.
Well, like, he wasn't playing. It was dumb. I don't know why they didn't send him last year.
It's one chance to play for his country, probably. I mean, it would have been nice for him, but they wanted him here.
Burakovsky, provided he wakes up from this sophomore slump, start to the season. I mean, it's just part of the season now. Provided he wakes up, he'll be, I'm imagining, playing in the, you know, some sort of tournament for his country at some point in the future.
Yeah, we'll see if he does. But let's go back to these two prospects, though. Let's talk about them a little bit. Both of them goalies. We were a little worried last year why they drafted a goalie, but the Capitals have been known to just...
They were like, what are you doing?
And the Capitals are like, he's a good player. He's the best one available right now, so we're taking him. What does this mean, though? I know it means nothing for Braden Holtby right now. I mean, nothing at all. But what does it mean to have that kind of depth? To have a guy that's playing for the Stingrays and being with the ECHL's player of the week or month, it seems as if every show we're talking about Vanecek. And then to have a guy, Samsonov, from ripping it up in the KHL. I mean, that's a big deal to have that much depth at goalie.
I thought it was funny that we talked about Vanecek over the summer. We went to their rookie camp or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
And we're like, he didn't really show us that much. Like, I didn't think he was all that good.
Yeah.
And now he's like, well, suck it, guys.
We weren't
now
impressed.
He is good.
He heard What the Puck, and he was like,
I heard
what
you said, you bastards. And so, like, he's coming after us. No, I thought apparently he's been doing very well. And I think, if anything, it's solid depth to have in case of injuries and whatnot. And when it comes down to it, whenever Samsonov comes over, if he turns out to be the real deal, he or Holtby or whoever they're a nice trading chip to be able to bring in more talent.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. And we saw that last year with Phoenix Copley, a guy that we liked a lot. I actually gave him one of the Prospects of the Year award for the What the Puckies, and now he's no longer a part of the Capitals. But it's really good to have that much depth. I don't really see Grubauer or Holtby going anywhere anytime soon. But
Grubauer will.
Grubauer, he's going to be the backup for a little while. I don't see him really...
A season or two until he shows some promise and someone's like, we need a goalie! And then you trade him, bring in someone else, you trade him, you make a deal with the deadline.
Right.
But the problem is you got to find another backup. So someone else has to be ready to step in to where Grubauer's at.
And we've seen Justin Peters, and I don't think he's going to be backup.
No thanks.
And I don't even know who's backing him up in Hershey. I'm not positive who the guy is there.
Dan Ellis.
Yes. Unless,
he's still there, right? I think he and Peters are rotating.
I believe they are.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure. But
we should probably have looked this up before we started recording.
we're not
professionals. No, we didn't know we were going to go down this train of thought.
We do this for free.
That's true. Peters, Ellis are the goaltenders. So, yeah, they're both probably playing. And yeah, you got it. I'm sure one of them won't be there next year, and Vanecek will be playing in Hershey, whether he's starting or the backup, moving his way up, just like Grubauer did, just like Holtby did, just like all these guys are going to do.
Man, do you remember we're going on a lot of tangents here tonight, but do you remember?
We do that on this show.
Yeah. Do you remember in the lockout year where Holtby was stuck in Hershey?
Good times.
Because
good times.
There was a lockout, but that meant Grubauer was a part of the Stingrays. Or was he in Reading at that point?
It was one of them.
You know, it was Reading. It was Reading because I went to Reading during the lockout year. So Grubauer.
Oh, you saw him play?
I saw that one Russian goalie we always talk about, Sergei Kostenko. It was his one game in the U.S. I saw. So that's actually pretty cool. But Grubauer was at the ECHL level, and he was pissed. Like, he was like, I don't deserve to be here.
Tear it up, but they had nowhere else to put him.
Yeah, they had nowhere else to put him. It was just kind of like a bottleneck, and he was just so angry to still be there. Like, he was getting into fights with the goal, and he was, like, hitting stuff. And, like, you could tell because they sent him down and brought up one of the Stingrays guys, and he had a game, but then he, like – I don't forget what he did after the game, but he pretty much was made a gesture of like, I'm not supposed to be here. I deserve to be somewhere else.
It's like, guys, I'm great. Put me somewhere else.
Right. All right. So
I need more to do. He's just like kind of like nonchalantly knocking pucks away. Come on, guys.
You call this offense? He's like, just give me the puck.
I'm really bored right now.
He skates down the ice, gets his own goal.
This is really not difficult. Stopping pucks. He's not even looking. He's got his like hand covering his eyes, and he's knocking them away. Scurrying around. We've gotten off topic.
Yeah. Anything else we should cover in Caps World?
Nah, that's pretty much it.
All right. Well, that is it for Caps World. We're going to go down on the farm. But before we do, here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We've already talked Capitals prospects, but still, we're going to talk some more Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Oh, let's see. In the past week, Hershey went 2-0-1 with wins over Lehigh Valley and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. The Bears will be back at it. They're actually playing as we speak against Lehigh Valley, then two games over the weekend, with Saturday being at the Giant Center against Binghamton and Sunday on the road in Bridgeport. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-2 in the past week with wins over Wheeling and Indianapolis. They'll be back at it with three games over the weekend, starting on Friday in Atlanta, Saturday at home against Greenville, and Sunday at home against Atlanta, because why not? In other Stingray news, they announced that their teddy bear toss will be this Sunday, December 13th. The Bears actually had theirs this past weekend in the win over Wilkes-Barre Scranton. That's what's going on down on the farm.
You know, whenever you bring up Binghamton, I think I'm saying that right.
I feel like it should be a P. It should be Binghamton, but that's not what it is.
Yeah, I always think of Rounders because there's that scene. Oh, great movie. One of my favorites. Matt Damon and Ed Norton are getting shaved, and they're talking about like where they're going to go make money. And Worm, Ed Norton, knows of a cops game of poker that's in Binghamton. And then you just see Matt Damon go, Binghamton? That's 3 hours back to and from. And Ed Norton just goes, yeah. But I always, for some reason, whenever you bring that up, I always think of that scene. Because it's always like, yeah, it's in Binghamton. I can't say it. I'm ruining
Binghamton.
It.
Yeah. Binghamton.
My beer's almost gone, so I can't say that. All right.
There you go.
So that's what's going on down on the farm. Go Bears. Go South Carolina Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Coach Dan's going to get us all caught up about what is going on. So, Coach, catch us up, man. What's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Pittsburgh, where Pascal Dupuis announced that he will no longer continue his NHL career due to a medical condition related to blood clots. Dupuis finished his career with 190 goals and 409 points in 871 regular season games. Let's stay in Pennsylvania, where Philadelphia defenseman Radko Gudas was suspended for three games for an illegal check to the head of Ottawa's Mika Zibanejad. Gudas, whose name sounds kind of like a type of cheese, basically elbowed Zibanejad in the face off of a face-off. It's a dick move, and he gets to sit and think about what he did wrong. Vancouver forward Brandon Prust was fined $5,000 for sparing Boston's Brad Marchand. That's not very nice. Former Washington Capital Alexander Semin was placed on waivers by Montreal on Monday, and after having cleared, is to report to St. John's of the AHL. Now, word is that the Habs intend to buy him out, and he's going to sign in the KHL. It sounds like Alexander Semin's time in the NHL has come to an end.
The fact that he went to Montreal at all shocked me. This isn't surprising. Yeah, ain't no way that dude's going to the AHL. No way. He can make some major rubles over in Russia in the KHL, and he's going to go do it.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh.
I see what you did. Let's see. Tampa Bay signed head coach John Cooper to a multi-year extension. Financial terms, as usual with coaches, were not disclosed. The NHL will no longer allow teams to receive compensation should an executive or coach leave one team to work for another while under contract. Teams will have to grant permission for opposing teams to interview their staff, and should they do so, will not receive any compensation. So to better explain that, when Toronto signed, I'm blanking on his name at the moment. What the heck is their name of their head coach? Mike Babcock. When they signed him over the summer to be their new head coach, Toronto had to send a draft pick to Detroit. And it's happened a bunch of other times over the past year. That will no longer be the case, and it makes so much more sense because if you allow an employee to leave, that's your call. Mm-hmm. You don't get compensation back when you could have hung on to them. And then again, you can say the same thing in trades, but it's not quite the same thing. If you're, or if, especially if you fire someone. Like Columbus had to send a draft pick to Van, I believe they sent a draft pick to Vancouver because they hired Tortorella to be their coach, even though Vancouver fired Tortorella.
That's true.
Whatever. But yeah, that will no longer be the case. Teams will no longer get compensation for executives or coaches. And finally, Buffalo was announced as hosting the 2018 World Junior Championship, I believe in 2018, with one of the games being played outdoors at Ralph Wilson Stadium, home of the NFL's Buffalo Bills.
That is this cool.
That's going to be very cool, especially for the young guys. This will be the sixth time the tournament is hosted in the U.S., first time it will be in a repeating city, and first time they will host an outdoor game. Staying with the World Junior Championship, this upcoming one, the NHL Network will be televising all USA games, which are played in Helsinki. So that should be fun to watch if you decide to get up ridiculously early in the morning. So, and also the games in Buffalo, this is especially interesting to me as the last time they hosted the games in Buffalo, I believe the last time they did, I was coming back from a family trip in the Caribbean and had my plane rerouted from Philadelphia to Buffalo due to a blizzard. We ended up having to spend the night and then drove from Buffalo to DC the next morning.
How long of a drive is that?
We stopped for coffee at Tim Hortons, which was, bought coffee for myself, my brother, and my mother, and I spent like $4.
Oh, God, freaking Tim
Hortons. That's like one cup of coffee around here at Starbucks.
A venti.
It took about 8 hours. We stopped outside of Pittsburgh.
Sorry.
For lunch. Yeah, we stopped outside of the city for lunch. You follow the lake down, then you go south. And you take, I believe we took the Pennsylvania Turnpike and then just went south from there through Frederick.
Wow.
But yeah, that's the news from the past week in the NHL.
All right, I just thought of this. Let me know if you think I'm crazy. The World Juniors is hosting an outdoor game in Buffalo.
No, I'm not going. Leave me alone.
Well, we're definitely going. But beside that, is it a little weird that they're going to be hosting an outdoor game in Buffalo right around the time the Winter Classic is happening? So
are you thinking they're trying to put the two together?
100% I'm thinking that.
That's a possibility.
Could they have just given away where the 2018 Winter Classic will be?
No, I don't think so.
They've already doubled up on some places, so maybe they're going to go back.
I mean, they could. You got to imagine the Sabres will be pretty good by that point.
And that was that game, it snowed. It was the first one. There's a lot of magic in the air.
Yeah, them versus the Penguins.
Yeah, so I don't know. I maybe they kind of gave away where the Winter Classic is going to be that year. I kind of feel as if they have.
All right, so I'm just reading. This is not on the topic, but back on NHL news. I'm reading on Twitter now that not only have the Florida Panthers redone their deal to stick around in South Florida for the next 13 years. 13 years since they made a new deal with the county, but they will be rebranding in time for next season.
So what does that mean?
Let's see. Florida Panthers will have all new jerseys next season. Good, because your jerseys suck. Colors said to remain similar, but complete makeover, including the logo. Interesting.
Ooh, really?
Interesting. Huh. All right, well, that'll be kind of fun to watch, even though that organization sucks, as does Jaromir Jagr, who currently plays for them, because he's a bastard. But yeah, that's the NHL news from the past week, and we'll see what happens.
Absolutely. So if you guys want to continue the conversation with Dan or I, you can tweet to either of us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And I keep wanting to call you Josh because I recorded yesterday with Josh.
I'm not Josh.
You are not. And
I checked, but I could be wrong.
And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
Oh, leave me alone. Don't bother me. I don't want to talk to you. You people stink. No, I'm just kidding. You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also occasionally, rarely, probably not that often, be sure to check out their website at capitalsoutsider.com. This is a great fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, have you gone to a game and bought the Slapshot bobbleheads at their kind of not really discounted price?
No. I'm hoping to go on the 30th.
Poorly done. If I go to a game, I'm going to get one and just to mess with you.
Just to flaunt it and be like, look what I got, you jerk.
Well, they are like, what did I say? They're like $29.99.
30 bucks now.
That's still too much.
I did put out my Slapshot Santa bobblehead, though. That's out. That is displayed in front of my TV.
Of course you did.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
I do have a new bobblehead as part of my my bobblehead family. I don't know what the word I was looking for there, but it's from a video game, so that don't know why I went on this sort of random tangent from Fallout. Anyways, but yeah, that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
That's right. Go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need. Maybe one day you could go buy What the Puck bobbleheads on BrandoCash.com.
Oh, that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
I don't know what they would look like.
It would be like The Office. It's me. I'm the bobblehead.
Oh,
it would
just be you and me?
Yeah.
Oh, no one would want that.
I would. That's all that matters.
Fair enough.
All right, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know, and you get all kinds of information about What the Puck or The Call. If you're still a Ravens fan after this terrible year, you might be able to listen to The Call and soak up your tears while listening to that podcast. Go to Facebook.com/WTP podcast as well as on Twitter @WTP_podcast. Like us, follow us there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And we're always putting out cool information about the Caps, stuff that we find interesting. You know, whatever we feel like sharing with you guys, we share it there. Shout out to our buddy Alex Brown in Chicago. Whenever we do a show, he's always sending out a tweet to tell everyone that follows him that they should check out What the Puck. And you guys should be doing it as well. Follow our buddy Alex Brown.
From this area?
No idea. Alex, where are you from? Let us know.
I'm confused.
On the Twitter. Check him out at Alex Brown's Town and be like him. And whenever a new show comes out, tweet to your followers and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social on the web. Say, I'm a Caps fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, guys, we got a couple games we're going to preview here. Our show is going to be delayed a day next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
There is a game on Wednesday. Of course, yeah, you have to do that. It sounds so ominous, dark and ominous.
Dun, dun, dun. Sorry. Moving on.
On Thursday, December 10th, the Capitals are in Florida up against the yet-to-be-rebranded Panthers. That game is at 7:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. Staying in Florida on Saturday, December 12th, the Capitals are in Tampa Bay up against the Lightning. Suck it, Pat. That game is at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, suck it. I don't know who you are.
Yeah, you know Pat. Phil, Pat.
Oh, Nate. Yeah. From Village Julie. Yeah.
He's
you can't say his first name, and I'm just going to be like, oh, duh.
He lives in Tampa Bay now. So that game is on Comcast Sportsnet, and in the U.S., it will be on the NHL Network. Then on Monday, December 14th, the Capitals up in the peg. No, not
boo!
Not the peg. The pits. Pittsburgh.
Well, boo them. Boo everybody.
The Caps are taking on the Gwynns at 7 o'clock. That will be on Comcast Sportsnet as well as the NHL Network nationwide. And then on Wednesday, December 16th, the Capitals are back in D.C., back at home, up against the Ottawa Senators. That game is at 7 o'clock, and locally it will be shown on Comcast Sportsnet Plus. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Want to say happy Hanukkah to everybody out there celebrating Hanukkah. Hope you're having a great holiday. Other than that, I hope for the eighth night of Hanukkah, the Capitals bring everybody out there a big win against the Panthers. So that is pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Everybody say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Where is this going to happen?
This is in Finland, Helsinki.
Played in Helsinki. Oh, I could make a Die Hard reference, but everyone will just think I'm a moron. So never mind. All right.
You should do it. It's a Christmas movie.
It is a Christmas movie, as much as people want to argue that point.
I think it's a Christmas movie. It takes place at Christmas. It's a Christmas movie.
There you go.